Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We're just a couple of hours removed from an earthquake on the East Coast, but it's also the night before WrestleMania, the biggest event of the year. What's going on, everybody? Hobo Boys, this is the Wrestling Inc. after show for the SmackDown before WrestleMania. But as always, I am not alone. I'm being joined by two luminaries and dignitaries who are walking through SmackDown and give us our WrestleMania predictions. Up first, the man is so multi-talented in speech and in music. You can find him at Matt Coon Music. Follow him out for Matt Coon. What's going on, sir?
Not too much. Very excited about WrestleMania. I can't imagine being this excited about a WrestleMania that I wasn't going to. Usually I'm excited for the trip, the experience, you know, but man, I tell you, I think this might be the best built Mania ever. So I'm very excited about it.
Well, that's high praise. I mean, it's 40 of them. You can pick and choose. I would say I'm agreeing with you, but it is kind of funny that that's the case. And also, you saw him this week on the AEW Dynamite after show, still reading stuff. Apparently people hate that, but we're doing it anyway. Give it up for George Hermosa.
One person.
Hey, he called you out, brother.
Who doesn't appreciate the magic that used to be WWF magazines back in the day?
Actually, Real Homies read Raw magazine, but that's besides the point.
I mean, that's coming up later. But yes, I'm 1,000% in agreeance with the. I think you tweeted something earlier, Flobo. A big FOMO for this week. Man, I'm seeing all these videos of friends of ours, colleagues, just people that we look up to. Man, I'm very lonely here in Los Angeles.
Yeah, absolutely. And before we get into everything today, got to give a tip of the cap to Glenn, who's on assignment, and Issa, who's on assignment as well, and that Jack Farmer guy who never comes to work. So less hype for him. But the other two, definitely.
I saw that Jack had time to run the Rocky steps, though. So I'm glad he's using his time to better himself.
Yeah, did he run it, or was it all just like smoke and mirrors and like for the?
Well, there's a picture of him and Jimmy Corderas at the top of the stairs, and they said they ran it. So, as someone who isn't running anywhere except to the DoorDash app, I'm not going to question their fitness.
I'll question it for you. Why not?
Appreciate it.
I'm a total hater. All right. We have SmackDown. We have WrestleMania. Like I said before, we'll get some of our predictions out the way later on the show. So please stick around for that. But George, what's going on in the news?
So apparently, according to Fightful Select, WrestleMania 40 is infused with a quote-unquote aura of excitement with Vince McMahon gone. So obviously, this is the first WrestleMania that he pretty much has zero influence on. Even last year, there were reports of some last-minute changes that were done to some of the winners and losers. I'm kind of curious myself on which match or matches that were. But it feels like now that he's completely out of the picture, there's a little bit more consistency with some of the finishes and not really having some last minute changes that are happening. So kudos to everybody that's there. I'm sure knowing that whatever is happening is probably going to be set in stone now. So I guess that's something that they don't have to worry about for WrestleMania. And even a lot of things that are going on for Monday Night Raw the day after. I don't know about you guys, and I'd like to get your opinion, that some of the Raw after Manias have been a little underwhelming for the past couple years.
Hot take.
So it feels like they're going to try to make a solid effort on bringing that kind of aura back that we saw in 2012 and 2013 when it was just kind of really became a thing. So looks like we're going to have a fun weekend ahead.
Yeah, let me get your opinion on that first about the shifting auras, if you will. It does say the word aura about it, about WrestleMania season this year.
It's pretty crazy. You know, it's not just fans, it's wrestlers. I hear the talk, and there are people who re-signed other places who might have changed their mind if Vince wasn't there. People are very scared of Vince today, what Vince had become. You talk about changing matches, you know. I've said this before. I was gifted two WrestleMania tickets last year by a friend of mine who went to go see Cody win. This is someone who would know. And that night, he goes, hey, you want my tickets? I'm like, oh, so Cody's losing. You know, he didn't write me back. But that's exact. Cody was the change last year. Cody was the last second change. And the aura of, first of all, two things. You talked about the Rofter Mania. You know, I don't think Vince was tapped in how important that was to us, or a lot of things that are important to us. And Triple H seems to be more so. You know, and at the same time, the talent is much happier that they don't have to deal with a crazy person. Like, all the allegations aside, Vince McMahon is legitimately, undeniably, objectively a crazy man. And the fact that they're not working for him anymore is just better, and it's better for us fans.
I got to say that I'm not really sure about what angle I have and everything, what dog in the fight I have, but I will say this. Whether you like the angles or storylines or hate them, you don't see them drop as often, which is something that's good. You get to see how they end. If they're not your thing, that's great. Just give me some of that. I just hate when it's like, hey, what happened to that guy? Oh, who's behind GTV? Can someone help me out? But yeah, what do you guys think of the chat about this WrestleMania? What's your hype level? Let us know as we go through everything today. Now, Wells Fargo Center, right across the street from where WrestleMania is going to be, packed in 19,000 plus fans for the SmackDown before. Now, the SmackDown before Mania tends to be riddled with the opposite of Raw after Mania, right? You think of the fillers and make sure everyone saved their bodies and a lot of stuff, promos and stuff. But this one here started off with the Kevin Owens show. Kevin Owens brought out Randy Orton. Think about that whole Logan Paul match you're having. But it seems that Logan Paul had something up his sleeve. Or did he? George Hermosa. Logan Paul, U.S. champion, trying to get people to boo him. I don't think people are really on board. What say you?
No, I think they're gonna give him a nice little boo fest. To be honest with you, I mean, I like that. I think it would have went a little bit long. To be honest with you, obviously there's so much to cover. You know, in this 2 hour build up toward this is essentially the go home show for all things WrestleMania. I mean, I kind of get what they were doing. They kind of went back and forth with the whole like, oh, I'm gonna go to the stadium now, and I'm gonna come back. It was cute. I kind of like the banter between RKO and. Or I guess you can say RKO. That's their team name, RKO.
No, it's not.
I like their banter. Just, I think Kevin just kind of this natural humor about him that I just want to see more of on a regular basis. But yeah. I'll give it a C plus, B minus. So
you disagree to say the same thing I was saying. That was meh. No, Flovo, it was all right. What?
No, I mean it was what it was. I think it went a little bit long. I think
fair enough.
Again, who knows what else they could have fit in there. But it wasn't bad.
Matt, you're the most logical person I know on the wrestling panel, right? What was the whole deal with A-Town Down going across the street, coming back across the street, and having a mask later on? We'll get to you. It seemed kind of weird.
Well, they just didn't have anything for them to do plot-wise. There was no story to move forward. So it's like, creatively, what do we do now, right? And the creative effort seems to be in establishing Kevin Owens and Randy Orton as friends. They're on the same team, which means to me, probably, you know, at WrestleMania, Logan Paul's going to escape with his title, and we're going to get a cool little, Randy Orton, Kevin Owens feud. And maybe, I mean, my call would be have Logan Paul, you know, move up and maybe even be a big challenger for Cody down the road.
Whoa, are you a fan of the U.S. title run then of Logan Paul? Is it hitting your marks?
I think as someone who observes the business, he's great for the business. He respects the business. Whether it's a title or not, that's cool. It's good for the business. But, man, that dude works hard. He does everything he should do. He adds to the product. I got no issues with Logan Paul, and I thought I would.
Wow.
That's a lot of people.
Yeah, exactly. And we're not sponsored by Prime. We were just saying that.
I will say this, though. I kind of do wish it was a little bit more about the U.S. championship belt. I feel like if you take away that U.S. title aspect of the match, there'd be nothing different about it. There's not really a mention of, hey, I want to be U.S. champion. Hey, I want to be U.S. champion. I'm not saying have some tension between them. It just feels like the U.S. championship has really nothing to do with this triple threat match that's coming up at WrestleMania.
You see, I was going to move on, but I have to put my foot here and stop the brakes like Fred Flintstone. The problem is U.S. title didn't really have any stakes to begin with. For some reason, as long as the U.S. title has been under the WWE umbrella, it's never had the same impact as it did in WCW and NWA. And so I kind of understand, what does it mean in this world? That the IC title is the workhorse title? What is the United States Championship? Every year and a half, I'm just reminded Harley Race had it a couple times. No?
Have you never heard of the U.S. Open Challenge by John Cena?
That was 20 years ago.
That was 9 years ago.
Ah, whatever. That felt like 20 years ago. Sorry, Matt. Yeah,
Cena did a great thing with the U.S. Open Challenge. And you're right. It's not, you know, and that's the Vince thing, right? Not even caring about the titles. It's not like he had a, you know, maybe he did because it was a WCW-based title that he didn't care for the title that much. Right now, it seems like the U.S. title is a promotional prop because you give it to Logan Paul to go on all of his appearances, and he wears it proudly. And Logan Paul is doing that job. So if you're not at least going to add to the title, which ideally, I agree, it should be the centerpiece. But if you're not going to do that, it's being used in a way that helps the company a lot.
Well, we're going to get to our predictions later on, but I think we may have a bit of a, that may be the a match that steals the show, even though many matches can steal the show based on how stacked that card is, especially on Saturday. So our actual first in-ring match of the evening was the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. Talk about things that used to have prestige and they don't, but it turned out to be a giant hoss match, right? Yeah, Ricochet was in there, but Omos was in this one, Ivar, Otis, and the eventual winner, Big Bronson Reed. I'm a huge Big Bronson Reed fan. Excited. I popped hard and heavy. Matt, let me ask you this. Three questions I have for you. The Andre Memorial Battle Royal, are you a fan of it? Are you a fan of it on Friday night before WrestleMania? And can Big Bronson Reed leverage that to the next step of his career?
Yes, no, and maybe. I don't like it on SmackDown, but I like the Battle Royal. Like, it's the perfect way to get these, by the way, stacked talented roster on the WrestleMania card without wedging them into this match or that match. I don't think it's good on SmackDown. I don't think they need it on SmackDown. They have like a two-hour pre-show. Just throw it on that. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I like Punk. I don't need to see him talk. Bronson Reed, they're showing Bronson Reed, hey, hold tight. We care about you. You know? Aww. Hold tight. You're important to us. In my stupid head, I was thinking, oh, they're going with Ricochet. They're going to reboot Ricochet because we all know what Ricochet can do if he's allowed to do it. True. But you saw it's WWE. You had giants everywhere.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. George, thoughts about the matchup? Emberg Bronson Reed being the winner of the Andre Memorial Battle Royal. What can he do with it moving forward?
I want to ask you a question, Flobo. When did we're getting for everything. When was it ever really prestigious?
Well, it's a good question. So I would say, as far as Battle Royals go, it's the one that's a big brand. But to the point of a WrestleMania match, it definitely was like the palate cleanser at the beginning of the show. But now, over the past 3 or 4 years, it's the night before, which raises a question. It has never been prestigious, but I think even less so. And so you had Big Bronson Reed winning it. And to Matt's point, I do feel like it's kind of a, hey, man, thanks so much. How Bobby Lashley won it the year before, right? I think. Yep. But I don't really see what that means moving forward. So I was going to ask you what that meant.
Do you remember who won the year before that?
No. If you ask me who wins a Battle Royal, I remember Braun doing one of them, and I remember
that was 2019.
I remember Baron Corbin doing one of them, and that was it.
That was 2016.
They all rolled
Cesaro.
Together.
Cesaro
was
right?
2014.
See, I don't know who won 2 years ago. Or
the, year the correct answer is a guy that's not even working there anymore. Good old Madcap himself, Madcap Moss. So listen.
Oh yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly. And, well, the year before that was Jey Uso. But I will say this, pros. I like seeing these kind of matches where there is no real stakes or prestigious because it really adds a whole element of unpredictability. If you say, oh, the winner of this match gets a world title shot or whatever it is, right? It's not going to be Berto from, you know, Los Lotharios, whatever their name is. So I like that it adds that kind of unpredictability. Yeah, or whatever, one of them, you know. So I like that aspect of it. I do. I mean, obviously, I'm a fan. I'm a fan that just wants everybody to get their spotlight at some point for WrestleMania. So yeah, obviously, I want it to be a part of WrestleMania, not the pre-show, but part of WrestleMania. You know, it is what it is. But you know, I think the right guy won. And when I say the right guy, I mean if Ivar would have won, I think that would have been the right guy as well. I think if Ricochet won, I think that would have been the right guy as well. At the same time, if Angel would have won, I don't think that would have been the right guy. With that said,
well, I'm saying, who makes it a right guy or wrong guy? I know we're totally dwelling
on just guys that maybe can use it for something, right? I know
that's
I kind of
question,
said that.
George.
Well, no, I know I said that like, there's not really much prestigious regarding it. And obviously, nothing happened to Madcap Moss. Lashley kind of stayed the same in some ways, but at least this is something that can hang their hat on in some ways. So again, like you said, Bronson Reed, it's like, hey, we didn't forget about you. I know he was tentatively planned for Elimination Chamber in his home country, so maybe this, I'm not saying this was a way of saying like, hey, sorry about that, but at least this is something where that can hopefully build some kind of momentum. Again, it's not prestigious for the most part, but that doesn't mean it can't be moving forward.
I'm with it. I just feel like, I'm not saying they should give him a title match or anything like that, but I don't, we don't really grind my gears. That last King of the Ring where King Xavier or King Woods won that tournament, and then it was kind of like he got his crown broken the next month, and that was it. Like, it didn't go anywhere. And I feel like you have a really good chance for the winner of the Battle Royal to do something with it.
Uh-huh. Sure, well, I mean, like we mentioned like 10 minutes ago, I think it goes back to maybe whoever's in charge. Maybe it was easy for him to kind of throw away some things now that obviously there's a new management. Who knows? Like I said, doesn't mean it can't be prestigious in the future. So I'm knocking on wood that it will be leading to something.
I'm with Keith George here. They shouldn't have gone to commercial during Battle Royal because I thought it was going to be Almas, but he eliminated himself over the break. So I know on this show, I've been giving a lot of flack to Karrion Kross and company, the Final Testament, but in a dueling display of promos backstage, we kind of understand what's going on now. Karrion Kross says the reason why he's attacking Bobby Lashley is to show him humility based on last year's complaint of not having a spot at Mania, which makes me cringe because Lashley was primed to have a spot against a man who's no longer with us. Fine, now I know what they're all about. Anyway, Philadelphia Street Fright is planned for this weekend. We'll get the predictions later, but Matt, let me ask you this. I complained. I was throwing my fist. Like, Karrion Kross, I don't know what you want. Do you buy this? Do you think this version of Karrion Kross is complete? Are you on board with the Final Testament?
I have no idea what I'm looking at. Like, I have no idea. Like, it is the most random assortment of people possible. Karrion Kross, he's got something. Like, he's always had something, right? And in NXT, they went full presentation with him, right? And it worked pretty good. In the WWE, Vince obviously hated him, had him lose to Jeff Hardy, put him in demolition gear. Man, I don't know. The WWE audience tends to tune somebody out who has so many shifts so early, unless you catch something hot. I feel very badly for the Street Profits. I feel very badly for Bobby Lashley because I think, of course, there's not room for everybody, but those three, come on, you know, like those three, you know, and they're using them to boost Karrion Kross. Man, I like Karrion Kross, but I'm not sure it's going to happen, man.
Ooh, George, I mean, you and I go back and forth on this every week. Thoughts about the Karrion Kross motivation? No.
So if we're going to rate things overall, yeah, still got some work to go. If we're going to rate based on the promo itself, I absolutely love that promo today. I think that explained a lot more about the Karrion Kross character and his motivation compared to, you know, the last year or so. I mean, obviously, when he first came back and he had that hourglass, that was something, right? It left us wanting, ooh, what is he coming back for? A lot of lull. And now we, based on what we saw tonight, I'm like, yes, if we see more of this, I'm truly on board. And I just want to add on, this was another 2 weeks ago, I predicted we're going to see the 6-woman tag with Jade, you know, and them. Last week, I predicted we're going to see a Philly Street Fight, similar to what we saw at WrestleMania 13 with LOD, Ahmed Johnson, the Nation of Domination, seeing a Philly Street Fight. So I'm going to throw it out there. Another prediction coming true here on Wrestling Inc.
Okay, so you found a way to put yourself over instead of Karrion Kross. What happened there?
I mean, nobody else is going to do it. So, you know.
Okay. You know, I put you over all the time, man. I literally call you a luminary and dignitary on this show every time. I'm just putting it out there. I am still confused about this, but you know what? I don't want to be negative every single week. We're going to find out who's going to be the victor, and I hope it's done after this weekend. Even if it ends, I think all 6 men or all 8, 9 people need new dance partners personally, but maybe I'm just complaining. Moving on, we got a little bit of development in the LWO camp. We all know that Latino World Order didn't have the greatest win-loss record on SmackDown, and Dragon Lee got signed to the group last week, much to many question marks here on the Wrestling King After Show. But he's attacked backstage. It looked like the upper hand is going to be all Legado del Fantasma and Dirty Dominic Mysterio and Andrade. We had ourselves a matchup in between that. Zelina Vega gets Electra Lopez, our women's match here this evening. And it was actually a strong one, but it's what happened afterward. Electra Lopez gets the dub, and everything goes to the fan with Andrade signing with Rey Mysterio. George, walk me through this. The LWO needs some reinforcements. Andrade needs someone to focus his new energy on. But I didn't think for a million years it would have been siding alongside Rey Mysterio so soon.
I mean, it's something, right? I feel like it's something to look forward to. Plus, it's kind of building along the story that from last week. I want to say, even though what I'm about to say is very predictable, that doesn't mean predictability is bad. But does anybody not see Carlito turning on Rey Mysterio?
I don't.
And don't get me wrong, I want to see it. I'm the one, I think he's the one that attacked Dragon Lee. I mentioned last week that we kind of saw glimpses on his face. I'm like, wait, Rey, why aren't I not your partner for WrestleMania? And now we saw not Dragon Lee get attacked, but we saw Carlito kind of the first person on the scene when he was attacked backstage. I'm totally, and again, I said it last week, I think everybody's right about Rey, right? Where it's like, you kind of don't really have any kind of loyalty to people that are loyal to you. So we're going to see something cool. I think we're going to see something building up maybe toward Rey and Andrade someday down the road. So a lot of developments in this storyline that I'm on board for.
Matt, same question. We'll talk about the women's match a little after, but the actual before and after, Dragon Lee's out, Andrade's in, Rey Mysterio as a tag team partner, Carlito. What's your thoughts about this?
You know, I think it would have been fun to have a big old multi-person match with a LWO t-shirt hanging above the ring with a ladder. That would have been pretty cool, you know, and just, you know, for the rights to LWO. The Andrade thing, you know, to me, it seems like maybe that Carlito is a red herring because, you know, Andrade doesn't have this huge history of being like this babyface good guy. And, but he does have a history of being a very effective bad guy. And I'm thinking the Rey Andrade feud probably in the future would be great. And don't forget, they had some burners on SmackDown. Rey Mysterio and Andrade. Just, I think that was the first Canadian Destroyer on WWE TV.
Oh, wow. If that's the case, that's a good trivia question. Well, let's talk about Andrade's former business associate, Zelina Vega, also in LWO, and usually the level one boss of that group, taking on La Madrina. And even though Zelina Vega had some offense in there, it looked like Electra Lopez, the size advantage, the weight advantage, totally got her the dub. Now, Electra was on NXT for about 2 years and change, and she was part of that transition to 2.5, about whatever this is. Matt, walk me through this, though. Electra Lopez, her upside. She's La Madrina. She's in the group. Do you see her becoming the top of the card? Do you see anything she needs to work on to get that next level?
It's experience, because what you have now is a loaded top of the card. Man, it is tough to get in there. When you have people still kind of on the cusp or the end of the prime of their career, like Becky, Charlotte, Bailey, who are being treated like legacy stars, and then you have these just superhumans like Bianca, you know, and you got a ton of people like that. Tiffany Stratton, man, you better there. It is probably harder to break into the main event scene of the women's scene than the men's scene of WWE right now.
True. George, thoughts about the matchup? Thoughts about Electra Lopez's upside? Thoughts about Zelina Vega always getting L's?
Yeah, I think sky's the limit for Electra Lopez. I think she's got a great look. Such a long way from 5 years ago when she was losing on the SmackDown after WrestleMania. Her and Chris Statlander going up against the Iconics, who just won the Women's Chanting Championship at 35. So kudos to her. Like, she's been busting her ass for over 5 years, and now she's on a prime spotlight, you know, the SmackDown before Mania. So I'm all for it. I think she's got a bright future. I think she fits so well with Legado. Electra Lopez. No, that's a different Electra that was in. That was an ECW back in the day. she don't look that good. The Electra Lopez ain't that old. She's actually relatively young. But yeah, I'm all for her. If I were to buy stock, I'd totally buy an Electra Lopez. I think she's got sky's the limit for her. So I'm excited to see what's next for her.
I'm going to ask a question only to Matt because I don't want George to be right about something else again. So we saw Jade Cargill come out and everyone's in their cowboy era alongside Naomi and Bianca. Damage Control is happening. What is your take on the Jade Cargill reveal, her sign of SmackDown, but the whole package of Jade as she rolls into Mania weekend?
Well, people make a lot of assumptions, right? They make assumptions like she's not good or whatever. I'm not that guy. Like, I don't really know, you know, what makes a good wrestler or bad wrestler. I think she is just striking. And I think in the ring, they know what to do with her. I think there's a reason they've been holding her back. And a lot has to do with timing. And then some may have to do with, learning to work WWE style. Like in AEW, she was just in there a lot, doing a lot of squash matches, not a lot of experience. Man, I'm not seeing any kind of diminishing interest in her. So I still believe in Jade Cargill.
George, is it a good thing or a bad thing that Jade didn't have a warm-up match before Mania?
I wouldn't necessarily say it's good or bad, but I do think, I guess if I had to choose, I'd say it's good because it gives us a lot more anticipation for her matchup at WrestleMania. She to me is such a superstar that I want to pay to see. And I'm not saying she shouldn't be wrestling on Raw or SmackDown, or in this case SmackDown, sure. But you should want to pay to see her wrestle, especially for the first time. Like, she is just that appealing with the eyes. I don't think there's ever really been anyone, maybe even more so than Chyna, that just has that just physical presence without saying a single word. And it just, like, yeah, I cannot say enough more about just watching her. Yeah. There's really nothing more I can say.
And it's not even just like attractiveness. Like, obviously, very, very attractive. Oh. But man, pops off the screen like nobody else. And, you know, they say you can't teach it. If it is a thing, she's got it for days.
That's one of the things I worry about watching NXT. Now, I'm a huge fan, but it's very, sometimes you can see archetypes develop, especially if you watch Level Up like I do. I'm a big Level Up mark. You really can't compare Jade to anyone. And I think that's a nice, you know, X factor to have. It's a Jade Cargill type. You broke your mold. You have your own mold, which is always good. Hopefully she does well this weekend. And again, if you're watching to the Wrestling Inc. podcast, we'll be doing our predictions a bit later. George, hit me.
Can I just add one more thing? I can listen to Matt Kuhn talk forever. Your voice is like, no, I'm going to go as far as say your voice is beautiful.
Thank you. I appreciate that. It's funny. For years, people said, you should be in radio. I never did any radio at all. You know, I never spoke publicly and then got in this crazy podcast world. And so, you know, I've never met CM Punk, but I do know that CM Punk told Dax Harwood, I love your co-host voice. So I get it a bit, you know, and thank you for that. You know, it's not something I had to work for, so I'll still take credit for it.
Oh, yeah. Well, I sound like a 10-year-old boy being strangled. Moving on to the tag team division, New Catch Republic, Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate. And Pete Dunne have a matchup against A-Town Down Under. Guess they're back from their trip across the street and back. Still, questions about the whole thing. The match kind of was interesting. I thought it was a well-paced back-and-forth matchup. But this is what happened afterward. See, even if the New Catch Republic got the dub, Judgment Day came out and looked as strong as they have in months, completely destroying anyone that was in that ring. Judgment Day has both their titles or their single title on the line this weekend. Matt, let me ask you this. There's a rumor going around that there'll be possibly two different winners on WrestleMania this weekend. Thoughts about that?
Well, they're splitting those titles. They're splitting them. Like, when they said today, the match is not over until both sets of titles have been retrieved. You know, so what does that mean? You know, it means that we're splitting those titles. Someone's going to win SmackDown and Raw, you know, and probably not Bate and Dunn.
Fair enough. They got the win today. George, old school booking says that New Catch Republic, then the win, don't become champions at all. Do you think they're going to have two, or are you going to hold out and say it's only one winner when it's all said?
I think it's going to be two. I'll save my two until our predictions later. But yeah, they've been mentioning it too many times. And obviously, they're still the red and blue belts. And it's especially when they kind of finally merged the Universal and the WWE Championship into that gold belt that Roman has. It kind of didn't really make any sense for them not to merge the tag team championships at some point. So I think it's for a reason. I think there was always a plan for at some point to finally split them apart. And they really wanted to maybe test the waters, because we've seen a lot of tag team wrestling in the past couple weeks with both tournaments on each side, Raw and SmackDown, you know, to determine who's going to be the ladder match. I think it's a good test and kind of show everybody. They want to show everybody first, hey, there's a good amount of tag teams on each side for us to have, you know, on each brand one more time.
So let me ask you this, George. Like, I know the AEW style is essentially tornado-esque, right? There is a referee, there's rules, but it's a little bit more lenient there. Is there an appetite for the kids, the 25 and under crowd, for tag team wrestling? I feel like there's always an idea. It gets trotted out for a couple months. And it kind of fades back to the background, no?
I think there is an audience for practically anything, right? Who's the worker here? Are the WWE and AEW the workers, or are the fans the workers? And obviously it's a little bit of both, more so the WWE and AEW are the workers. I mean, there was a time where we saw enhancement matches and then we just didn't see them anymore, right? Because they kind of were the ones that kind of set the tone for how wrestling goes now. So if they really make a solid effort in building tag team wrestling, then, yeah, absolutely. I feel like there's always going to be a market for the 25 and unders, especially when I was a kid. I was a big, like, Heart Foundation rocker.
Different Bulldog. Time, Grandpa. That's a different time.
But I'm saying, like, who's to say? It's still professional wrestling. Like, there's still a science behind of pro wrestling and, you know, really being able to showcase the great things about what tag team wrestling and other aspects of wrestling can be.
I'm with you. Matt, do you think that there's a new dawn for the tag team division? Or do you think that it takes a little bit more seasoning to make sure that we have two divisions?
Yeah, I don't think we have a new dawn for the tag team divisions. Even though, you know, as I've been told several times, Vince did not like tag team wrestling. Vince did not get it. But I'm older, and I remember tag team wrestling not only breaking up the show in a cool way, but also really having a lot of devices for creating bad guys and good guys with creative workarounds around the rules, right? Now, AEW, love AEW, don't get me wrong, but they don't really have rules for tag teams. They have tag ropes there for no apparent reason. Rick Knox will let you drive to Wawa and back and not count you out. And so I don't think Tony Khan really prides tag team wrestling either. So I'm not optimistic, but that explains why they just let those things be merged. It fell through the cracks because Vince never got tag team wrestling, didn't care about tag team wrestling. I've been told a million times he loved the Revival as wrestlers and people, but he didn't get tag team wrestling. And so that's why it wasn't a good place for him.
I was always fascinated with this, and actually had a conversation with Eric Bischoff, another name drop that we must do, where it's more of like a, do you think it's more of a financial thing where, for example, the more tag team wrestling you have, the more people that are filling, you know, the camera or that quarter hour, you have four people on camera, that's four salaries that you pretty much have to worry about for that quarter hour. If the numbers don't match what, you know, what you're paying those four guys, like, do you guys think that has something to do with maybe why tag team wrestling was never really a priority for some of these guys?
If you want my opinion, I think that matters on the indie level, right? Mm-hmm. When you're paying guys their hot dog and their handshake, or hopefully more than that. But I think you get to a certain level scale on television where you accommodate 40 or 50 people backstage and you use them accordingly. If you want my opinion, and I like tag team wrestling enough, I do think one of my favorite tag teams in WWE in the recent era was The Bar. Right? I'm a big Bar guy. To me, I could see the seams a little bit more. I could see the hot tag. I could see the heat generating. Like, it felt, even though wrestling all has a formula, I felt tag team was stagnant because I felt like that formula happened no matter who was wrestling, no matter what size or what costume or what motivation. And I think that's why it was sunsetted quite a bit. But if it's going to be a new chapter, then sign me up. I want all of it, you know?
Yeah, I think I'm sorry, George. As far as your question goes, you know, rich people who were poor don't forget what it was like to be poor, right? And so Vince, I think it started like that. I think he had that reflex. Like, dude, this is too expensive. Even when he was rich, you know, Tony Khan has no such reflexes like that. But with Vince, I think that's what it was. I think he saw two plane tickets, two hotels. Not that he paid for hotels, but, you know, two salaries when you could just have a match or you can have a segment. Like, why even fly in four guys when you could have an interview segment? So I think it started like that. But I think there is, as much as people go crazy about work rate and matches, there, I mean, those Briscoe FTR matches, you know, they showed you what can be done artistically and also financially.
I always pin back to the FTR and DIY matches that we saw on NXT. Like, that two out of three falls match from Toronto was like a thing of beauty. And I think that being under the Triple H umbrella, we might, I'm hoping, optimistic that we're going to see a sign of that to come at some point.
Say, yeah.
I'd love it.
Not much of a big note. LA Knight had a promo. We almost choked on his own gum. But let's talk about the main event situation. Solo Sikoa against main event Jey Uso. And the match was pretty solid, I would say, even good. And I said, you know what? This would be kind of good for some momentum for Jey Uso or even Solo Sikoa for the bloodline, because apparently he works more matches than anyone in that entire group. But it was all for naught. It was broken up by DQ. Jey Uso wins by DQ. And, well, of course, we got a whole dust up fisticuffs with Cody Rhodes and Seth Freakin' Rollins coming out. And Cody Rick grabs the microphone and says he's ready for Mania season. Matt Coon, was that whole segment a hype accelerator for you? Are you already sold? Was it overbooked? Thoughts about this one?
It wasn't really, because the last couple, you know, like the last two Raws have had such crazy go-home angles and so exciting. Like Monday night, I didn't watch the end segment. I didn't know what happened. But when I woke up in the morning, I went to my DVR and watched it. I can't remember the last time I've done that, you know? Yeah. So in this SmackDown, it wasn't more intense than that. It wasn't more cool than that. I think the idea was for Cody to give this fiery promo to get everybody there. But I think, man, they really burned the town with that stuff, because we have had The Rock and we have had blood and we've had whippings and we've had all kinds of stuff going on, insulting dogs, like everything's going on. So unless The Rock came out, I think The Rock not coming out, you know, probably made the segment a little less must-see.
George, thoughts?
I mean, I thought the match was fine. I will say I'm a little disappointed in some of the buildup for Jey versus Jimmy Uso. I feel like we didn't see enough mic work on each part. I think we saw like one face-to-face like a couple weeks ago and kind of went a little back and forth. But I'm a little underwhelmed with the buildup. I know the match is going to be great. I like that we still saw a brother versus brother. Obviously, Solo, don't forget, he's still a brother to the Usos. But yeah, it was just a platform to have Cody come out there. I thought what Cody said, I love what he said at the end, because everybody's so focused on finishing the story. And I don't know if people know this about stories, that stories end and then what? So one of my favorite things is that he actually said, like, when a story ends, like a better one begins. And I love that that was the last thing that he said before WrestleMania, because it really has me look forward to now not only Cody winning, but now a Cody title run.
Wow, Cody winning. Who knows? We'll talk about that just momentarily. We're going to have our WrestleMania predictions, but got to tell out to Allison Tuckwab, who gives us the super chat. She says, why does Tony Khan seem like he don't know how to run his company? He likes to be a wrestling fan instead of a boss, and his company isn't structured where WWE is, and Vince McMahon was a boss, and its place was structured. Now, I'm not going to ask you guys quite yet. Allow me. I would say that's a lot of opinion there, a lot of conjecture there. I don't know the boardrooms of Vince McMahon or Tony Khan, but I have two things I do know. And one, running a wrestling company is completely difficult. And two, you got to take into account what public opinion is about you. Yeah, you hear about what's happening in AEW, but hey, look, the fact that they're still around says something about the strength of a boss. And Vince McMahon made a bunch of mistakes as well. It's not cut and dry. It's not either or, not night or day. George, talk about this one.
I say this all the time, and I don't want to add on.
You better.
I don't want to add on to whatever Punk said, but let me just say, there's nothing wrong with how Tony Khan runs his wrestling company. what people kind of get upset at is when they feel and they know that it can be so much bigger than what it is, because we saw it be bigger than what it is when it first started, right? How many viewers did they get that first week? They look at all the hype for Double or Nothing with no TV, no hype, you know, same thing with All Out. And now we have a TV, multiple hours of television on a regular basis. And you would think that that would be a plus for that company, but you know, for them to be where they're at again, I like it. Again, I'm not trashing AEW. My point is just that there's nothing wrong with whatever that he's doing. It's just, we all know that it can be so much more, if that makes sense.
Fair enough. Yeah. I mean, I think that's kind of how the same thing is. Everyone has an opinion what they think a wrestling company should be run, and we have our opinions about how it is on the other side.
Well, you know, you said his company. It's his company. And this dude, I have a lot of thoughts on it. I'll try to keep it short as possible. This dude is a billionaire. This dude was born a billionaire. And what's he doing with his money? He's trying to create and give out to the world what he loves. He loves wrestling. He's a fan. He's trying to make some money on it. But it's really because he loves wrestling. He put Sting and Mood on the same show just to do it. You know? Yes, sure. Punk was probably right about everything. I've never heard anybody ever with AEW tell me personally, you know what, this company's really got it all together. They've really got everything really. It's good. It is what it is, man. And I think we just have to be okay with that now. It is what it is. It's his company. And he's going about things the way he wants to, because he's putting out stuff there that he likes. And he's hoping we like it too. And he believes in his vision. And he's not dumb. He runs other sports companies. And I think we just need to refocus. Sorry, it's going long, but this is important to me. Our priorities. We get so angry that he doesn't run a good company. We get so angry he doesn't book the way he wants to. We get so angry he's pushing this guy, that guy. What about the fact that he's a good person? What's with this he's a nice guy, but? Mm-hmm. This bull, man. This dude pays for travel, pays for injuries. There's no million stories about him being a total weirdo like there's for Vince. He's a good person doing good things for people. I'm going to support that company. If it's not entertaining, I won't watch it. But if I'm going to get angry, I'm going to get angry about the way wrestlers are treated and people are treated, not about on-screen stuff. And Tony Khan does that. He respects wrestling and wrestlers. And I think people need to calm down about everything else.
Yeah, I think the perception on either side is because they, and I'm assuming Tony Khan and this man, present themselves so differently, it tends to be either or, like a yin-yang type deal. But there's different kind of promoters I've worked with in my short career, and George, you do too. I'm not sure if that's kayfabe or not, but you do grapple. You know, you've done it with other promoters are different.
I was going to say, like, you know, some people work for a hot dog and a handshake. Sometimes I've been lucky to get a hot dog.
Yeah, you did a good job, bro. See you next month. Like, hey, I got rent to do. All right, well, WrestleMania 2 nights is here to stay, which for me makes me feel better because I think the first 35 Manias are a whole different thing. Let's get into our predictions.
Dude, I was there. That thing went for 5 days, man. It was terrible.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You gotta earn it, man.
We didn't get stuck there, but there are people who got stuck there. But let me tell you, man, 2 days, I'm for it. That 35 was brutal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, 12:30 a.m. end time, 45 degree air temperature in Jersey. Bring it on, man.
You know what's funny? I said this last year. I said that because I went there. I went both nights. As a fan watching at home, give me 2 nights. As somebody who doesn't live near SoFi Stadium, I'm good with the 1 night.
Oh yeah,
getting in and out of there was brutal.
Yeah,
I'm from Orange County originally, but I've lived in Virginia for like 30 years, and I went to WrestleMania with my son, and I'm still digging myself out of the financial hole of WrestleMania 39 because. Like, here's an example. You're totally right. Like, I took an Uber home from SoFi to the hotel. It was $150. Now, It wasn't an Uber. It was a dude with a car. You know what I'm saying? And we were that desperate. He's like, 150. I'm like, man, can we haggle a little bit? He's like, I'll just do the next guy. I'm like, here's your money, because there are people stuck out there. The 2 days is rough, especially in LA. My God, was that expensive.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I think it's kind of the flip side of it all, the two-night thing. And if those of you don't know, SoFi Stadium parking starts at $100. You can't even drive yourself. But we're not here to talk about parking. We're here to talk about WrestleMania 40 in Philadelphia. Bless your soul. So going out there in the springtime outside over that Lincoln Financial Field. Two nights, predictions are inbound. Let's talk about it. Night one, to me, is way more stacked than night two, but that's one man's opinion. And one of the matches here is that World Women's Heavyweight Championship, Becky Lynch against Rhea Ripley. Matt, I'm going to start with you. Becky Lynch seems that she can't lose, but Rhea Ripley is the most dominant women's champion we've seen in a long, long while. Thoughts about the prediction on this one?
With who's running the company and what we've seen, I'll go with Rhea Ripley. I think Rhea Ripley, they're going to push her as a breakout star. No one's going to boo her. Everyone loves her for different reasons. Becky is still going to be Becky. She's not going to be hurt by a loss. But a win by Rhea is going to help catapult her.
Oh, George, agree or disagree?
I got to agree with that. Rhea's on such a tear. And like he said, Becky don't need it. Becky.
Yeah, she does.
How does she need to win another championship?
I'm trolling you. I don't know. I'm just.
You don't. I don't even know. Yeah, but by all means, like Rhea, it's Rhea's time. I mean, she's young. She's the it girl right now. There's no way she's going to lose any kind of momentum. I think she's going to go in and end up breaking Bianca Belair's record.
Oh, she does have the record. Wow. I can't believe I'm lived long enough to see one record into the other.
Like, I would guess that Rhea might get more cheers than Becky, too. That's a prediction I'd have.
Well, there's some people, actually, Becky Lynch is like the Beyonce of wrestling. I don't say anything negative about Becky, because people online, her and Mercedes, people online just go nuts. So I'm gonna hold my tongue on that one. But I do think Rhea retains here as well. The six-pack ladder match for the WWE Undisputed Tag Team Championships. And well, ladder match, I'm already sold way back in the Terry Invitational Tournament. So not only is it Judgment Day, it's the Awesome Truth. It's the New Day. It's Eight Town Down Under, New Catch Republic, DIY, all vying for one or two tag team championships. George, what do you got?
I will say, just to kind of harp back a little bit, I do feel like this buildup hasn't been the absolute best. We haven't seen R-Truth and Miz really done anything in the last couple of weeks, especially after how hot that R-Truth and Judgment Day storyline has been for a little bit. Mm-hmm. With that said, I do think that R-Truth and Miz, the Awesome Truth, are going to capture the Raw Tag Team Championships, and we'll have A-Town Down Under capture the SmackDown Tag Team Championships.
Interesting. Matt, agree or disagree?
A-Town Down Under, man, it's an act of two dudes who WWE seems to think a lot of, and I kind of do too. So I think until they're seasoned, it's a great place to put them. Mm-hmm. Also, you're split up the tag titles. You want to put someone behind them who's going to do something and who's going to represent them and bolster them, and also, you know, create differentiation with SmackDown. So I would say it's going to be New Day winning the Raw titles.
Whoa, New Day, some old dogs and new tricks. I like it. I'm not a wrestling purist, but Kofi, go back to tights, please. For me, on predictions, I have A-Town Down Under on SmackDown. I did this last week, by the way. I have A-Town Down for SmackDown, and I also have DIY, another two that needs something, because to me, this whole let's get you hype crowd thing isn't working for a group that worked so many times, so many years prior. So I have the win the Raw Tag Team Championships. Let us know in the chat what you think for this.
That's going to be a fun match, though. Like, you know, like it's ridiculous that what they're going to do is going to be just stupid.
I hope it opens the show, to be honest with you. I hope this go absolutely beyond the pill nuts, personally. All right, so we got a change here because it has a Dragon Lee thing here. But Andrade is in for Dragon Lee and Rey Mysterio as they take on Santos Escobar and Dirty Dominic Mysterio. Not really sure why Dominic is still feuding with Rey, but hey, I'm on board, man. The fact that Andrade is going to be back in the WWE ring at WrestleMania is great. Matt, who do you have with this one?
Man, I got to go with a feel-good moment, probably, Rey. You know, like, You can't have him look like a punk with his son this much. I don't mind putting Dom in, man. I was in L.A. too last year. Dom's entrance at WrestleMania last year was awesome. Mm-hmm. And it was like, oh, well, he's a star. Give him every title. Just give him every title. So wedge him in there. Get him in there. Ray gets the win. You know, Ray's taking some bumps figuratively and literally lately. So I think it's a good thing for his character. And, man, it looks like he'll be around for a while. So why not keep him a little strong?
Wow. George, agree, disagree.
Last year, we had Rey Mysterio defeat Dominic Mysterio, and I predict that will not happen 2 years in a row, but we're going to see a little shenanigans. I think we're going to see Carlito come out and cause the LWO and Rey and Andrade to lose the matchup because Carlito, like Dolph Ziggler said, it should have been me.
That's one of the best lines of Kofi's title run. Should have been me, Kofi. Yeah, I do have Santos and Dominic winning this one. I'm not sure if Andrade is going to be down for the double cross or we're going to see Carlito cross that. Now I'm confused of which one's going to turn on Rey Mysterio because they always turn on Rey Mysterio. It's like Kevin Owens.
He bring it on himself, though.
Does he really? Like, he's just very trusting. He has a big heart. You know what I mean? He's the greatest lucha of all time.
He's a deadbeat dad.
How was he a deadbeat? Dominic was well fed. Okay.
Did you see any pictures of Rey Mysterio at Dominic's wedding? I did.
He wasn't invited. That's different. It was like he got turned away. It was just okay. Like he wasn't invited. But speaking of not being invited to family functions, it's brother versus brother, Jimmy versus Jay, main event Jay Uso. Jimmy Uso has heard it was a dream match for them, but gotta ask you, George, you team Yeet or no Yeet?
I'm going to be team no Yeet. Like I mentioned before, I think this feud is a little underwhelming. I feel like it's going to leave me wanting more, and I want to end up seeing more, maybe them having a match at the next pay-per-view or PLE in France that's going to really be everything that this build-up wasn't, and I feel like we're going to see a big gimmick match to get the Yeet win this time. But for this time, I think we're going to see team no Yeet. I feel like we see the brother versus brother thing we saw previously at WrestleMania, and it's always been the heel winning. And that's not going to change after Mania 40.
Whoa, Matt, Yeet, no Yeet.
No Yeet. And I will say this, you know, years ago, I can't believe it's years ago now, you know, Jey Uso's in the middle of the ring yelling at Roman Reigns and said, you know, when people talk to me, they ask me, which one are you? Now we know. They have done such a great job with Jey Uso. Uh-huh. Unthinkable, really. It's unfathomable. What they've done with Jey Uso. Like, really, think about what they did with him, and it's Jimmy's turn. Why not? Why not create another star? Because Jimmy has been left behind, but he, to me, I mean, I always thought he was kind of the guy in the tag team. Like, and I think it's his turn, and what Triple H has done with Jey Uso, where when he does that thing with his hands, the whole crowd's doing it, it's amazing. That's what booking is, what he did with Jey Uso. Mm-hmm. Let's go with Jimmy. Let's give him some time.
Yeah, I'm also team no Yeet with this one.
And I do want to add on, too, just because I was a big Tony Total Divas fan, and we saw a lot of Jimmy Uso on Total Divas because obviously he's married to Naomi. So I feel like he kind of took a back seat to all the Jey Uso stuff. Obviously, Jimmy Uso was hurt for a long time when Jey Uso was breaking out as main event Jey Uso. So I like Matt said, I do feel like this is going to be Jimmy's Uso time. Jimmy Uso's time to rise and pretty much match where Jey Uso is at.
I had no idea you're a Total Divas fan. That's what's up, man. That's awesome.
Wasn't everybody a Total Divas fan?
No, I can't say I'm not. I wasn't a fan. I just never got around to watching it, and then it was over with. It kind of passed me by. Like, could have been great. I don't know.
I love how insane John Cena is on that show. He is a menace. He's just the weirdest dude that ever lived, ever.
Probably a Ricky Snicky thing. Allison Tuckwop comes again with another super chat. Thank you so much for your support. She says, I'm ready to see Dominic go solo alone on his matches now. If he can do matches by himself without his dad, which I think was proven as North American champion, I think he's ready to do matches without the Judgment Day group. I also agree, but what about mommy? Who knows? Elsewhere, talking about championships, it's Gunther against Sami Zayn. I'll be honest with you, fellas. I'm not a Sami Zayn guy. But I love this thing with that Chad Gable. I'm going to train you to be a man like Donny Osmond and Mulan. I am all about that life. Matt, tell me, we have a new IC champion after this weekend.
I am well known and for years been ridiculed by Conrad Thompson for being a Sami Zayn fan. I have been a Sami Zayn fan for a very long time. Not only do I think I know the winner, but I think I know how it's going to happen. Ooh. So I think what they're going to do is they're going to have Gable second Sami Zayn and throw in the towel for Sami.
Oh.
Sami doesn't lose. Sami doesn't give up. They showed the towel in the, because Gable used to always have a towel. They showed the towel in the little vignettes they did. You know, he just does. And then maybe it leads to, Sami and Gable and like a promotion for Gable. I don't see Sami winning. I don't know if he's, you need to save that win for somebody who's going to benefit from beating Gunther and all the credibility that Gunther has built up over the past year.
George, agree, disagree.
Oh man, this one's so tough because this is one of those instances where if Gunther wins, that's 100% the right decision. If Sami Zayn wins, I think that's still 100% the right decision. Like,
and so fun too, right?
Yeah, like everybody, obviously there's this mentality. I apologize if I rant right now, but there's this mindset, not just in wrestling, but in life in general, where it's always black and white, red or blue, left or right, right? Where it's like there's no such thing as having two good things. You can't have one good thing and you have to have one good and one bad thing, one right and one wrong. Like, no, like there's many right ways to present something. And I just, this one's so hard because I think both ways are so right. Like you had Sami Zayn who was on like the hottest babyface about a year ago. And like, I just want to see him keep doing good. I'm going to have to say Gunther just because I feel like Sami Zayn deserves more. I want to see him maybe challenge Drew McIntyre if he ends up winning the championship. I don't know who's going to be Gunther. Like, he's got to lose sometime, right? Like, he can't just hold the belt forever. So it's like, is it the right time? Yes. Twist my arm, but I'm going to go with Gunther.
I mean, it worked for Bob Backlund. No, I'm with Gunther too. I'm kind of biased. I'm the biggest Sami Zayn fan, but I think the story of Chad Gable and his family to me is the kind of story I would have gone on board with because of what that title means. And it's like about the rub. I remember when Ilya Dragunov beat Gunther on the second, the rematch, it was great, but it kind of was like, oh yeah, I forgot. And I granted that title disappeared, but it didn't really give us the rub that we were expecting. So I want to see a wrestling grappling classic because I am a European wrestling mark. I love that style, and I think Chad Gable would have given me that. So yes, give me the towel throwing, set it up, the Chad Gable version 3. I'm on board for that. But that is Saturday. That's only the one night at WrestleMania. That's already stacked. But before we get to Sunday, let's talk about our main event here because this is a tag team match that's supposed to lead into Sunday as well. Seth freaking Rollins and Cody Rhodes are going against Roman Reigns and The Rock. If the Roman Reigns-Rock team wins, it's going to be Bloodline Rules on Sunday. And if Seth Rollins and Cody win their matches and it's nothing, it's just a regular matchup, then cool. I like it. I like that. George, how's it not going to be Bloodline Rules? Tell me.
Oh, man. This, I'm going to go on a limb. This one can go either way.
What? Just
because, no, I mean, like, Cody should win straight up. Like, he shouldn't win because of interference. He shouldn't win because, you know, somebody helped him win. Like, he should win. Because, right, like, last year, the whole reason why he lost the match was because of Solo Sikoa.
Right.
So now that if you guarantee that there is no bloodline, there is no interference, then there really is no excuse for him not to win. With that said, I just think it's not so much about bloodline rules or not bloodline rules. I think it's just more so about they're not going to have, this is like Mark talking. They're not going to have The Rock lose his first match back in like 11 years. But also I think it's more about having Cody overcome more by not only is he losing the first night, not only is he going to take punishment the first night. But I just think that, you know, you want to kind of feel more sympathy for him leading up to WrestleMania night 2. So I do feel like it's going to be The Rock pinning Cody in at the end of night 1.
Okay, Matt, because I don't see Rock taking a pin from anybody, final boss or otherwise, and Roman can't lose 2 times in a weekend. So it has to be Bloodline Rules Sunday, right?
Like, what's our choices here? We can have a a wonderful scientific match between Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns with the assurances that we will not have any outside interference. Or we could have the most clustery, like, interference, crazy clown show of a main event with bloodline rules and John Cena or whatever the heck's going to go on.
Clown show.
It's a total clown show. I'm for it. You know, just everything. But Rock, no. Rock's not getting beat. That man that we see on TV every week, there's a real man behind that. He's not getting beat. He cares. Roman ain't getting beat.
Right.
Seth's weak. You got to beat Cody. You got to have people on Saturday night going, oh, my God, I cannot wait for tomorrow now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And this is the reason why. Because both of our faces have double duty. This one is Seth freaking Rollins have a match against Drew McIntyre, who seems to be winning WrestleMania if you count all the social media impressions. This one here is for the World Heavyweight Championship. Matt, I'm going to start with you. Drew McIntyre could win this one and beat Seth Rollins, but have we forgot about Senor Money in the Bank? What do you think?
You know, usually when you don't talk about something in wrestling, that's when you should watch out for it. Like if you go, well, they haven't talked about Damian Priest having the Money in the Bank for a while, so it's probably happening. I don't think we need it. I don't think we want it. And I think Damian Priest is a big part of 2024 WWE plans post-Mania. So Drew, buddy, Drew is just killing it. It's got to be Drew. Drew's killing it. Like, I love Drew. I've always liked Drew. He's the greatest dude, and he's working his body. He's finally figured out a way to be up there with the Rocks and to be up there with the Roman Reigns. Dude, let's see what he does with that title. Let's see what this character of Drew, you know, in talking to Drew McIntyre about it, I'll drop a name, you know. You know, Drew said the idea of the character is that he has to feel justified. The character of Drew McIntyre has to feel justified. That's why it works. So with him having that Bret Hart-like character and him being the size of a giant, I think it's a cool recipe and a good counter to the if Cody wins.
George Hermosa. Seth Rick Rollins could retain. You got Drew McIntyre could win, or Damian Priest can walk away the champ. Who do you have?
I think Damian Priest cashes in on Monday, if anything. Now, when I say cash in, I mean cash in. Like, he's going to, you know, do the briefcase. Whether he wins or loses, I have no idea.
Okay, fair enough.
But I do think it's Drew's time. It doesn't help to my mindset that they just announced a big show in Scotland coming up in June. So I feel like he's going to have gold leading up to that pay-per-view.
They have gold last time they were in the UK. That don't mean nothing.
No, but were they in Scotland in his home country?
Noam Dar doesn't have a title. Neither does Piper Niven. What are you getting at, George?
Well, I mean, now, oh, if Piper Niven had a title match coming up, I'd probably pick her. Uh-huh. But, you know, with Drew McIntyre and everything that he's been doing, he's on such a roll. His mic work has been just tremendous. Obviously, he's never disappointed in the ring. I do think there is something to maybe Seth Rollins being a challenger sometime soon. We've seen him hold the belt since May, which is a very long time. So I do think there's money in Drew winning. So I have Drew McIntyre winning.
And now for the match, I have the most questions about. Officially or artificially known as the Pride, that's Bobby Lashley, Street Profits, and B-Fab, are going to war against the Final Testament and what's known as a Philadelphia street fight. Is anyone in this group from Philadelphia? I'm not even sure. George, let me walk me through this, man. Karrion Kross had a promo. B-Fab had a promo. Time for talk is over. Who walks out with a dub?
Born and raised in Los Angeles, and I only went to Philadelphia on a layover. So I don't know if that counts or not.
It always counts. Oh, it doesn't count.
Final Testament needs it, to be honest with you. But I'm going to go with the Pride. Is that what their name is?
That's what it is unofficially, but yes.
I'm going to go with that. Bobby Lashley, I feel like he deserves more. I don't mean that in a bad way, but I feel like he's due for some kind of world championship, you know, title hunt. I feel like there's no reason, even storyline reason, for him to not be in there. So I'm going to go with the Pride.
If there's a seashell, I'd agree with you. Matt?
You know, Bobby Lashley is one of Triple H's rare misses, and he's missed so rarely that you can kind of be like, well, you know, you get that one. Bobby Lashley, at least a couple months ago, really captured the crowd. The crowd really likes Bobby Lashley, even when they tried to make him a bad guy and the crowd rejected it. You know, that's a real thing. So the question is, does WWE value Bobby Lashley? So if they don't, they're going to have this be a stepping stone for the Pride. If they do, then Bobby Lashley and the Pride are going to, go over this group, and we won't probably hear from them again. I don't believe WWE believes in the Karrion Kross group, so I'm going to go with Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits.
I apologize because I feel like I'm too hard on the Final Testament, but I really want them to do well, especially Paul Ellering bringing them back. AOP was a good tag team they were here, but this just, I think this is new dance partners. We've done this enough. If this was a GM mode in 2K, it would say, like, feud exhausted, like, find something else, personally.
Yeah, it's all like right. They don't have anybody else for them to work with because it's such a holding pattern getting ready for Mania, you know? Yeah. So it's not like anybody's talking about the feud, you know? Like, we're not all, ooh, like, I can't wait to see you. Let's get this over with.
Absolutely. Very OC-ish, if you want to be honest with you. A team that can't buy a win, unfortunately. All right, LA Knight, AJ Styles. This one was interesting because it felt like a month ago that these two men were going to be in the United States title picture, but now they got broken off, and AJ hates LA, and LA hates AJ for a bunch of reasons. I'm going to start with you there, Matt, because you're an old-school guy like I am. I mean, I'm going to drop a name. Me and Sean Ricker were at Mach 1 Wrestling back in 2011. Ha-ha, suckers. Love to see LA Knight, love the crowd, they love everything. AJ Styles, well-beloved, found a way to make his style, no pun intended, work with WWE when he first came over. Both these men should win, but neither of these men are going to win together, so who do you got?
Okay, I think I have LA Knight, because I think WWE does believe in LA Knight a little bit. I'm not interested in this match that much, because it seems to me like this very, like, you know, cynical idea of like, hey, we have a good guy who needs a match and a bad guy who has a match. They're about at the same level. Let's just throw them together and justify it. Very Tony Khan style, like make the match first, then justify it. Mm-hmm. And I think it's LA Knight. Like, I don't see the reason to beat LA Knight at Mania by AJ Styles unless they're trying to say, hey, let's slow this fella down.
Dang. George, what's up, man? Slow down LA Knight? What gives?
There's only one person who's game in town, whose game it is, and it's AJ. I'm kidding. I feel like it's going to be LA Knight. I think it's his time. Again, I don't want to, spoiler alert, I think Cody's going to win, but I just feel like it just presents a lot of new matchups, right? Like, you're going to have LA Knight against maybe Cody or even Logan Paul coming up, especially since I think Logan Paul is going to win. I wouldn't mind seeing, you know, LA Knight holding some gold sometime soon. And the way to do that is to start off this momentum or continue the momentum that he's had winning against AJ Styles.
All right, so let's get into it. United States Championship on the line. Kevin Owens, Randy Orton, Logan Paul. And Logan Paul's retaining, you say?
Oh, 1,000%.
1,000%.
This is something where, again, going back to what I mentioned earlier, where the U.S. Championship right now doesn't really, not that it doesn't mean anything, but for this specific match, they're not even focusing on it. Like, not once did you ever hear, like, Kevin Owens or Randy Orton talk about them needing to be the U.S. Championship. So if they don't need to be champion, I have no reason to have the belt coming off of Logan Paul. What I'm curious is I'm looking forward to, if Logan Paul does win, I want to see how he wins, because I feel like it's going to be something a little bit more creative than his buddy slipping him some brass knucks.
Oh, yeah, sure. The brass knucks is kind of his thing, right? Matt, look, man, Logan Paul has to lose, right? Logan Paul, we hate Prime and his weird comb over, right?
Oh, he's weird, man, but he's over, you know? And like what George was saying is that, the stakes. What are the stakes in this match? The stakes in this match are not the U.S. title. The stakes in this match are, we don't like Logan Paul. Sure. So you kind of look at what's going to happen. Like, do you see Randy, like, really with the U.S. title? No. Kevin Owens, maybe. But do you see Randy and Kevin Owens kind of taking up a few months fighting each other? I kind of see that. And I also see Logan Paul. I see Logan Paul maybe beating Cody down the road. You know, I see Logan Paul being a world champion. So I think Logan Paul keeps the title and amazes us all again, and does maybe the world's greatest RKO spot somehow.
You see Logan Paul being the world champion. You see Logan Paul holding the title that the superstar Buddy Rock and Hulk and Undertaker. Are you kidding me?
He is going to take the title that Jinder Mahal once held.
Fair enough.
And make it great. Yeah, you know, he's such a star. Like not inherently. I'm just saying metrically. Yeah. He's metrically a star, right? And he has not embarrassed himself at all. And he shows an interest and respect for it. Like some of the callbacks he does in his matches, you're like, oh, wait, he watched Dynamite Kid wrestle. That's crazy. You know, like there's no reason why you shouldn't at least get him in a feud for the main title. Because, I mean, it'd be stupid not to.
I'm going to make up reasons to hate him. Like, he has a really bad snapmare.
If anything, obviously pro wrestling or WWE is a lot of things. They want the photo op, and I think there's going to be no better photo op than him posing in the middle of the ring with his U.S. championship standing over his Prime logo.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
But what a great visual of him getting pinned on that Prime logo, too, yeah, though, right? Yeah, you know? Yeah. Him just knocked the hell out right in the middle. That's going to be the closing shot, whether he wins or not, is him getting knocked out and just sprawled across that Prime logo.
I don't want to pull back the curtain on, like, news, but WWE just signed an agreement with C4 Energy Drinks. I wonder how that's going to work. You have Prime as a ring sponsor as well.
It's sure better than that embarrassing Ric Flair graphic that we see accidentally in the background of AEW shows.
It's so random. I'm with you.
Whoa. Like, wait a second. Oh, that's...
Has anyone tried Woo Energy? Let me know if you have in the chat. I want to know if it tastes good and where'd you get it. I have no idea. I haven't seen it in the wild.
Thought about ordering it just to get it. But, you know, like, you know, I have good friends related to them. And so I can't, like, if it's terrible, I'm not going to tweet it's terrible. So I have no interest.
I'll do it. No, I'm kidding. Don't give me the pressure. Don't give me the pressure at all. That'd be awful. I'd be canceled. Let's talk about a match I'm looking forward to, and I kind of felt unfortunately got swept under the rug. This one here is for the WWE Women's Championship. Bayley, my favorite wrestler on the roster today, bar none, period, full stop, male or female, is taking on Io Sky for that championship. Bayley's done it all, and has a chance that after winning the Royal Rumble, yeah, she won the Royal Rumble. Remember that? Has a chance to walk away the champ. Matt, I'm going to start with you. Io Sky has been champion for months, but can I say it's been a little bit underwhelming with the numbers game?
Yeah, I mean, it was all kind of a device for possibly damage control for Horsewomen feud. It fell apart with Charlotte's injury and the negotiation with Sasha, so we're here, right? But man, the crowd loves Bayley, and I do too. Like, you know, like I forget I like her.
Yeah.
I watch her and I'm like, oh, that's right. You know, I've watched Bayley for a long time. I'm a big old NXT guy. Was there when she debuted. Was at Sasha versus Bayley in New York. Man, I just think I don't think Bayley has to win this match, but I think she should for the reason you said is that. I think, you know, she does more for the title, and I think it's a great end of the story. Bayley pulled this story out of her whatever because nobody cared really, and now people do. So good for her.
Yeah, Bayley has to win this weekend there, George. Right? Right? Maybe.
Maybe, but I do want to talk a little bit about the chip that's going to be on their shoulders. Last year, a lot of people thought that the main event of night one should have been Rhea versus Charlotte, and that's another thing. Going back to what I said earlier, I think. If that was the main event, I think it would have been, for the most part, a good choice. But, you know, the main event was what it was last year, and I thought that was phenomenal as well. But either way, my point is, we saw Rhea and Charlotte have arguably, I know there's three or four to choose from, the absolute, probably even best match of the year. Because great I feel match. Like they had that chip on their shoulder that we should have been the main event. So let me show you why, let me show you why we should have been the main event. I feel like we're going to see, and I think we talked a little bit about this last week too. I feel like Bayley and Io are going to have just such a, oh God, hopefully I'm not building it up too much. Such a beautiful match. I think the story is there. Everybody loves Bayley. Bayley's a pro. She knows how to work that style of really telling a story. Io's phenomenal. She is such a great talent. This is going to be, in my opinion, maybe one of the top two or three best matches of the card. With that said, I do think it's not Bayley's time yet. I feel like we're going to see Io retain and continue this whole damage control kind of storyline thing, especially with rumors of a certain former Stardom superstar coming into the mix, and who knows if that's going to be come into play. But I do see EO still retaining.
Blair Davenport confirmed. Yes.
You know, it's interesting with what you're saying about not getting a main event. I think it's really kind of cool that WWE didn't give the main event last year or this year because they're not the biggest match. So whether or not it's the biggest match or not, the first women's match they give the main event to, it's going to get extra cachet. You know, like a year now from now, 2 years from now, when there's a women's match that is the main event, it's going to seem like such a big deal. And not like just, well, we'll have a man and a women's, right? I think, and it's probably going to involve, you know, Jade Cargill or Bianca Belair.
Mr. Kuhn, this is not just a random match. Bayley won the Rumble. They tell you, you get to be the main event when you win the Rumble.
Do they say that in the Women's Rumble too?
Yeah.
To be fair, I'm going to play devil's advocate.
Put the table over.
The main event doesn't mean you're the last match of the show. Haven't you ever seen? Didn't you ever watch WrestleMania 8?
Oh man, they'll give you Fully Loaded 2000 vibes.
Hey, Hogan used to wrestle before intermission, and that was the main event. You know, on the house shows.
That is a technicality. You guys know it.
Del Rio, and Sheamus both won the Royal Rumble, and guess what? They were the first match on the show.
They went first, but there was only one Rumble back then. You tell me the women get to go to WrestleMania and miss two nights, and both of me occupied by Cody Rhodes.
Blame the Rock. Blame the Rock. Fine.
I did it for The Rock. I did it for the people.
I'm surprised The Rock didn't try to take a Bayley shot, you know?
Let's point to the sign. Yeah. TikTok. Yeah. I love it in his contract. He can't lose fights. All right, let's talk about our main event. All right, it was going to be Cody Rhodes versus Roman Reigns. Whether it's going to be a straight-up matchup or bloodline rules, we don't know. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Now, finishing the story can mean a lot of things, but I ask you, Matt, this has to mean that Cody walks out the champ. Right?
Well, first of all, the story. I love the real Cody Rhodes story. Like, the story on screen is great, you know? But the real story is, we know what it is. This dude talked his way into WWE at his dad's Hall of Fame speech. Mm-hmm. This dude did his best, was given 25 gimmicks, none of them worked. He decided to leave. He left and became something, started a wrestling company. When he came back to WWE, they were roaring. Tore his pec off his body and wrestled the Hell in a Cell. Yeah, came back, got kind of screwed on the title again. Then, again, Rock joins the board, right? So you guys all know that. I just recapped anyway. But that's the real story I'm invested in. Now, as far as the prediction goes, unless I've gotten totally worked, and I love getting worked, I'm just saying from everything I've seen, I think Cody does not win. Like, from what I've seen, they don't believe in Cody. That's what I see. I see that Rock came in and changed it, and then changed it back because they had to. And then now we're still going to get what we want. This is wrestling, right? They're still going to get what they want. Rock is the boss of the WWE. Rock is the boss. His best friend, his childhood friend, runs the place. He's on the board. I don't see The Rock going, okay, I'm not going to get my match, and also Roman's going to lose. He's going to finally lose this title, and he's not going to lose it to me, or he's not going to lose to me. He's going to lose to Cody. I don't see that in the works at all. I wish I did. And unless I've gotten worked by this whole thing, and this was the plan all along.
Right. Let me have a follow-up question for you quickly. If Cody does not win, can the fans get behind him again? I feel like that would be one too many twists that people will say, you know what? I'm out this guy.
Of course not. But, dude, we're talking about Cody Rhodes. What? This guy, I'm not saying he's got a special quality. What I'm saying, he's got a work ethic and a determination and a self-belief that like no other. So, yes. Because he will make it so. He will will it into existence. Look what he did with AEW. Look what he did with getting a multi-million-dollar contract WWE and debuting at WrestleMania 2 months after being set on fire in AEW TV. Like, this guy, he gets it done. He figures it out. And so I'm not worried about Cody's future either way. I'd love to see the Cody babyface run. I'd love to see that. I think... I just saw a comment on YouTube. You got to finish the story or you're a loser. you change the story, right? That's what they have to do. But I think the fans, dude, those kids love him. That dude stays after every show and signs autographs. When I saw him, he picked up a crying kid who was crushed against the barricade and held him and comforted him. And then gave him back to his mom. He'll still do that. I mean, he's Cody, so he's going to be fine. I hope he wins. I don't think he will.
George, tell me that Cody walked through the championship, right? Maybe? Kind of?
I said it last year, and I don't know, I referenced it earlier today. Cody Rhodes winning last year would have been the 100% the right decision. Roman Reigns winning last year was 100% the right decision. Cody Rhodes winning this year is 100% the right decision. Roman Reigns winning this year is 100% the wrong decision.
Go on.
It's time. Like, you can't have people invested, because clearly next year it's not going to be Cody going one more time. It's going to be Rock and Roman. And it doesn't need the championship, you know. And I get it. Like, Rock doesn't want to face Roman Reigns coming off a WrestleMania loss. But also, we're in kind of like a make sense and bring back logic to pro wrestling in terms of stories. So I feel like they have 1 year to kind of make it right. I do think there is more money in The Rock being disappointed in Roman, thus leading to the match. But I honestly think there will be a huge punch in the gut to millions of fans all over the world if Cody Rhodes doesn't walk away with the WWE Championship.
I'm inclined to agree. My recent example is always the Braun Strowman getting his head caved in by Roman on SmackDown. I never believed in Braun after that. And I think that if Cody walks out of Philadelphia, not the champ, we won't riot. We'll probably leave upset in orderly fashion. But I will find it really hard to say, whoa, the next night. But hey, I've been wrong before. And I think that if that does happen, I'd be on board to see how it unfolds, because I cover the sport. But as a casual fan, I don't think I'll ever come back and say, is Cody having a chance next year?
You know? Yeah, most of us, though, are very fat, so we don't really have the cardio to riot.
Fair enough. Yeah, exactly.
Like, we can, like, get mad for, like, a minute, then we got to sit down, you know? So I think they're safe. Even in Philly, it's wrestling fans, you know? Right. Throw a black T-shirt in front of us, we'll buy it and go on our way. We'll be fine.
Yeah, it covers up the curves very well. Yeah, that brings us to the end of our two-night of WrestleMania predictions. It's WrestleMania 40 is tomorrow. Of course, they didn't deliver as well. And as we're recording this, the Hall of Fame, it's always a big time for WrestleMania season, even though I'm a SummerSlam guy myself. I still think this is kind of a high season for wrestling. Before we wrap this up, though, Matt, I mean, tell me about what you think about this weekend, what we're most looking forward to, and how the world can find you.
You can find me at Matt Coon Music. I'm up to absolutely nothing these days. You know, oh, I just, there you go. I just want to, like, wait until, like, a really great opportunity comes with a podcast, so I can wait, you know. And until then, I'll just tweet too much and annoy people, and people will accuse me of being a WWE shill or AEW shill. I love it all, but I'm expecting, man, I have high expectations. WWE pay-per-views are great. They've been great. And anything less than a great pay-per-view, especially after Revolution, AEW Revolution, which I went to, and it was, man, that was the best damn pay-per-view I've ever seen in my life. Sure. So this it's going to be Revolution? What's that? Yes. Okay. Yes. Oh, okay. Dude, it was absolutely the best pay-per-view. My son, he's 21, and he's been wrestling with me forever and ever and ever. And, you know, he said that was the best thing he's ever been to. Nice. You know, and nice. And so, you know, that's the kind of bar we're dealing with now. If they have a bunch of sucky matches and it turns into this big, long, ugly thing with a ending people don't like, it'll be disappointing, but I think it'll be fun. I'm looking forward to it. I have high expectations. I'm optimistic.
You got a match you're looking forward to the most, or all the same?
Man, I'm still looking forward to Cody and Roman. Just the stress of it all. Like, you know what it is? I've been a wrestling fan for like 40 years. To care about a winner or loser of a match, that's a beautiful thing, and it never happens to me unless, like, a friend is wrestling. I care. Like, I know Cody tangentially. Like, associate is a strong word for it. So it's not that. I really want that guy to win this damn belt, because I know he wants it more than the character Cody Rhodes wants the belt.
Yeah, let's go on. George, of course, people can find you, connect with you, but the match you're looking forward to the most this weekend?
It's got to be the main event. I mean, this is literally like a year.
Bailey, EO Sky? Yeah, exactly. I know.
If Cody does end up winning the championship, I know tears will be shed from this guy. I'm sure from Cody as well, but it's something that I'm really hoping I get to see. Again, like I mentioned before, upset that I can't see it live, but you know, it is what it is. Maybe next year in Minnesota. For the most part, that's the match. Just that whole angle, the storyline. I know it's not the end. I know the bloodline is probably still going to continue, but just kind of seeing how everything culminates, and that's what makes wrestling so great. You know, I love WWE. I love AEW. I just love all wrestling, to be honest with you. But this is one of those weekends where don't bug me. Don't call me. Don't text me, except I'm working on Sunday, so I don't know how I'm going to make that work. But and Monday too, it's not like I can stay up late. I'm just looking forward to everything. I know as soon as we get out, I'll probably start watching Hall of Fame. Paul Heyman went first, by the way. I thought he was going to be the main event. I thought he was going to be the last person inducted into Hall of Fame, but he was the first guy. I just like all things. Stand and delivers tomorrow morning. There's going to be a lot of wrestling this week. Yeah, weekend.
Absolutely. Just for the pure spectacle, the tag team ladder match. So I'm looking forward to the
and most. Watch my interview with Scotty Riggs on the Wrestling Chatter YouTube channel.
Nice.
The Scotty Riggs? Wow.
The American Male.
Flobo Boys over there on that X and that Flobito on Instagram. We'll be back here Monday for the Raw After Mania. Looking forward to that tag match on Saturday and seeing Bailey not win but compete on Sunday is my choice. Let us know what the match you're looking forward to the most in the comments below. Like, comment, subscribe, and all that jazz. Until then, we'll catch you next time.